Okay, we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2.
Let's go over that for a question.
Where are we going?
Acts chapter 2.
Thank you. Terry and I weren't paying attention.
They're goofing around in class.
We're very good at that.
So I want to teach on the subject of they were serious.
Unlike this couch over here.
Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts is a God-given account of some of the occurrences of the start of the Christian church in the first century. And it shows the rise of the growth of the believers in that day and time, and also the expansion of numerically of the believers in that day and time. And one point that's very apparent is that they were very serious about what God's word said. You know, as they got involved and God, you know, heard God's word, heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were serious about living God's word and having that lordship relationship, that they were no longer their own Lord, that Jesus Christ was their Lord, and God's word for the new administration at the time was their rule book. And they took it very, very seriously. And we'll see that in part here. But it's all over the pages of the book of Acts, how they just really did not treat God's word lightly. We're going to start in Acts chapter 2, towards the very end of the chapter. As we know, the day of Pentecost is the original outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The 12 apostles received it. Lots of people heard it. And then Peter taught on what had just happened and goes through a little history record from the Old Testament and shows that this is the outpouring that God had shown in the scriptures. And at the end, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So that's a lot of people that all of a sudden are now believing what God's word says concerning Jesus Christ and what God had just done. And here's what is it's a summary of what they did after that day. So here they, and on the day of Pentecost, I can't say all, but certainly most of the people who heard what is described in Acts chapter 2 were Judeans. It wasn't a bunch of Gentiles at the day of Pentecost in the temple. They were Judeans or converts, but still they were of the mindset of what's in the Old Testament. And on that day, they dropped the Mosaic law that they had been abiding by and picked up the Lord Jesus Christ and what that presented from the scriptures. So it's an immediate change for those who got born again. So here's what they did. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread." I like that part. "And in prayers." Just like we did today, we prayed together. And the two words, "continued steadfastly," is one Greek word. And it means to persist in a thing, to persevere, to wait upon constantly, to give persistent attention to. That's what continued steadfastly means. They were basically they were thinking about what God's word said. It was in the top of their thinking. Perhaps when two people start dating, perhaps, they think about each other all day long, you know, whatever it is they're doing, somehow that thought of that other individual pops into their head. They were consistently having attention to what they had heard. So again, "and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And the word for doctrine basically is just means it refers to that which was being taught, that which the apostles were teaching. And what they were teaching, being they didn't know the mystery yet, they were teaching that which had been fulfilled from the Old Testament scriptures, what Jesus Christ showed them, of the things that he, as the Christ, was to do and what he did, and You know, that was the doctrine, and that there was an outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit, eternal life, new time period, the Mosaic law has changed or ended. That's what they fast to, you know, a perseverance in thinking about it. Verse 43, and fear or reverence or respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So there was the power of God in operation. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now that's a hard thing to do, even if you've known each other for 30 years. Here they did it, boom, quick, really quick. They were serious about what they heard. Oh, Jesus Christ is my Lord. All right, so what's that mean? Okay. And they did it. All that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, as we see in the earlier part of Acts 2, it lists people that were there for that Pentecost feast, and they were from all these different locations around the world. Now, some of them may not have gone back for a while. This is the only place you could hear it. Wasn't like there was radio or TV or tape recorders or I'll get it on the web on my way back. That's the only place they could hear what they heard. That's the only place where the church was at that time. And so, doesn't say how many, but some people must have just stayed for a while. So, like if all of a sudden we all decided to live in Walt Township, you know, some of you may have some housing needs. So they started selling things that they didn't need to help out with their needs. Now, you have to really, really reach somebody pretty hard to reach into their pocketbook or they're reaching in their pocketbook to hand you something, right? We don't easily give our money away just for no cause. When you reach somebody's heart and they start giving financially or what they can, of what they have, you've affected them. So I'm thinking, as a test. But really, look at the seriousness to it. When you really, I mean, in a short period of time, they were like, oh, okay, I don't mind selling. I hardly ever use that. I don't really need it right now. And give it to somebody that they may have never even met before, but only because they are now a brother of Christ, a brother or sister in Christ. They were really quite serious about this. Verse 46, and they continuing daily, and those two words continuing daily is the same Greek word as continued steadfastly in verse 42. They continuing daily with that persistence, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It takes a lot to get a group of people into singleness of heart. So what had to be the common thread is God, the scriptures, and how quickly they united on that. They didn't let personalities or personality failures or whatever override their belief in God and their willingness to bless one another. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So these things that we just read became their daily pursuit. Not their once a week, not their once a month, not their once every blue moon. Their daily pursuit. The scriptures, the fellowship, blessing, the endeavor to help. Pretty wonderful. Their lives changed immediately. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Their lives changed immediately. They made Jesus Christ their Lord, and they meant it. They were serious about their decision, and they acted accordingly. So, just a wonderful thing. To them, it was an obvious movement of God on the day of Pentecost. They saw it, they witnessed it, and they wanted to be a part of it, continuing a part of it. Can you imagine being there on the day of Pentecost? You're going there for the yearly feast and you see this thing in front of you and you're not sure what the heck is going on, and you hear a man stand up and explain from the scriptures what had just occurred, it's got to be moving if you believe. You know, there were those that mocked, as we know, and there are always going to be people who mock it. But imagine what went through their heart. Holy smokes. The understanding that started. So to say, oh, you know, I think Jerusalem is my new home for a while. That's quite an impact. Quite an impact. Acts chapter 4. This is shortly after the lame man was healed that had never walked before. And the apostles got locked up, and then they were going to be released. Got locked up for doing something really good. And verse 18, we pick it up. This is the Sanhedrin speaking to Peter and John. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And that was in the name of Jesus Christ that that lame man was healed. So they're saying, we don't want you to talk about that guy, Jesus, anymore. And Peter said, that's all right. We have no problem with us. No. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. Look at the seriousness in their commitment and their decision to want to keep doing what they just got in trouble for. And then they go and pray with the believers. And then in verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them, which was referred to these believers they were praying with, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Again, that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes it's a hard thing to do to get two married people. Really? One heart, one soul. Here it's minimum of 3,000, but it says, you know, there was about 5,000 that believed shortly in this time period here. And you know, it was daily. People were getting added unto the Lord. It's growing quickly. And for it to still be one heart, one soul is amazing. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Now, this isn't like a commune that was popular in the 60s and 70s. Those were built on everybody's going to share, but there was no truth that it was based on. It was just, you know, we're all kind of equal. But then personalities got in the way, thievery got in the way, all kinds of problems came up. Yeah. Now, that woman over there, she's mine, she's yours, oh yeah. You know, there's no truth to base it on. So, of course, it was going to be a failure. But the desire for things coming was there. That was a good thing, but it was not based on truth. This was based on truth. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Again, when you reach a person's pocketbook, you've had an effect on their lives. So, I mean, look at Christopher and Ruth. They're going down there to help Arlene. And they had, Christopher has an ability for plumbing. I wouldn't be the right guy to call for actually putting it in. I mean, I could help. But he knows plumbing, so he's blessing her. That the family is standing together. Arlene's not a plumber. She could find that there was a problem. But she's not a plumber. But it's just great. You know, it's not always that we give money. It's we give time, we give prayer, we give help, we give a lot of things. It's not just money. And that's what they did. They took care of each other. That means they were serious about what they were doing. Acts chapter 17, let's go there. They saw that relationship of Jesus as Lord, and they said, okay, I'm not doing my will anymore. I'm doing the will of God. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's the head of the body. Acts chapter 17 goes over Paul's initial entry into Thessalonica. And it's the start of the church in Thessalonica. And we're going to start in verse 1. This has always been a mind blower to me, how quickly this they moved. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, the synagogue of Jews were people who were still teaching the Mosaic Law. So they were Judeans, but they weren't Christians yet. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took with them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. They probably went into local bars and said, hey, we'll buy you a six pack if you come over here for a little while, stir up a little trouble, and go back. We got you a six pack waiting for you. People, lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew out Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. So it says that Paul was there reasoning with them for 3 Sabbaths. So the shortest time that he could have been there would be, let's say he shows up on Friday, the next day he teaches on Sabbath day, that's Sabbath day number one. A week goes by, and then he teaches the second Sabbath. Actually, it could be less than 2 weeks. You know, it's just, no, then he's got a third. So it's just a day over 2 weeks. So you can have 3 Sabbaths in 2 weeks. That's the shortest. The longest would be a month. He gets there the Sunday, the beginning of the week. First Sabbath is 1 full week. Second Sabbath is another full week. So you got 2 weeks. Third Sabbath is the third week. And let's say he stayed until the next Sunday or next Friday. That would be almost a month. So the longest period of time that he is with these people is a month. A little wonder. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In light of that, and then there's such an uproar, and there's so much pressure from the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, it was a major uproar. Can you imagine yourself being there and here, and then you see all this tumult and all these crazy guys doing crazy things? It's like, I don't know if I want to get into this thing. But instead, they believed, and they withstood all that persecution in the town. It's amazing. Chapter 1, and we're just going to pick it up in verse 5. It says, for our gospel came, and it's referring to that, what we just read. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also to, in every place you are believing to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So in a short 2 weeks, they made a major change in their lives, going from the Mosaic law at best, and some of it says were Greeks, so they weren't even in the word, so to speak. And made a major change to the point that they were just had a ferocious desire to stand on the Word of God and to have that family living, so to speak. Really wild how serious they were about this whole thing. You know, it's sort of like, and this is a terrible analogy, but it's the best I can think of. It's sort of like deciding you're gonna go on a diet. You're gonna lose some weight. Okay, I'm gonna lose some weight. How many people make that decision for New Year's Day resolution? Okay, I'm gonna get on a diet. I'm gonna go to the gym every day. I'm gonna do this and that. And then 2 weeks later, they realize, oh, I haven't gone to the gym but twice. I thought about it. Or, you know, it's just a total loss, because not of weight, but of success, because they really didn't get serious about it. You know. So, like I said, poor example. I know that pales in comparison to our relationship in God's Word, but it's that idea that unless you really make up your mind to do something like that, it's not going to happen on its own. So, unless you got one of those magic bodies. Nobody has. So, let's go to chapter 3 while we're in the neighborhood here. Verse 1, this is Paul writing concerning his concern for these believers. This is shortly after he left, that, you know, whether they were still standing on God's word or the pressure from that town got to him. Verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, or literally it's, I could no longer stand it, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your believing, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your believing, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your believing and charity, our love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Isn't that something? That they stood in that midst of that tribulation. And they were only in the Word a few weeks. Only in the Word a few weeks. Let's go to Acts 19. I remember when I first got in the Word of God, the first teaching that I heard, in the first 5 minutes, I realized that I had finally found the truth. Because I'd been looking for the truth, but I was looking in a lot of wrong places. And I thought, well, I'll try the Bible. If I can go to a place where the Bible's taught, I think I'm going to go. So I did, and it was a fellowship that we do now, same type of fellowship. And I had to be God working in me, because inside of me, I just knew I had finally found it. And I made up my mind during that fellowship that this is it. My life, this is my life. So whatever it says, I'm going for it. And we had fellowship every single night for years. And I just, that was it. My life changed like a 180 in 1 minute. And it was like that for many of us. Just heard the word, that's what I want, and we're still here. You know, it was like that. And it's still like that for people. And can be. But what a seriousness that these believers had, and great thing to emulate. Chapter 19, this is when in Ephesus they did that big book burning ceremony, and whatever the junk that they were had their life was absorbed in before, they decided to get rid of. They realized that the truth of God's word and the things of God were so much more important than the things that were devilishly affecting them. I wonder if there's anything today's culture that tries to devilishly affect us. So, chapter 19, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They got rid of the junk that was stopping them or hindering them from being their best for God. You know, maybe they had a statue of Buddha, or maybe they had nudie magazines, or maybe they had whatever it is that people put before God, or that is an evil effect. It's like having something constantly pricking you on the side and irritating you. Let's go lastly to Romans chapter 16. They were serious about it. They got rid of the junk. I think this is kind of funny. I don't know if that God had anything to do with it, but I had, when I first got in the Word, I wanted to get rid of all my junk music records, you know, from, you know, the 60s and early 70s. And so I had a pile of them, and then I had, underneath that, I was traveling in my car, and they were in the trunk, and then I had some of the ministry albums that I had recently gotten, and they happened to be on the bottom. And so, for some reason, my trunk blew open, and all the records flipped out, except for the Believer ones. It stopped right there. And I thought, look at that. I have to get rid of them now. I don't know if that was a miracle or what.
Fine for littering.
Yeah. I figured God wasn't going to give you a chance to change your mind.
So, it was quite funny. So, Romans chapter 16... end of the book. This is Paul sending greetings to different people in Rome, and two familiar names here. Verse 3, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." That was a married couple who have for my life, for me, Paul, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So the lay down their own necks is a figure of speech, and it is based off of the custom that if you were going to be executed, you laid your head on your neck on the chopping block, and down comes the sword. And it's a figure of speech. And they were willing to lay down their necks, literally. No, but figuratively, they would do anything. We use the term shirt off my back. It's not quite as strong. I'll take the shirt off my back, but not my neck. They were willing to lay down their neck for Paul and to help in aiding Paul's ministry. And I would say that's pretty serious, you know, of recognizing what they had. But it is easy to fall into complacency on the merry-go-round of life. You know, life isn't just a... There is a devil, and there is a need for God's people to get blessed. But the persistent attentiveness of what God's Word says, and to stay serious about doing it, keeps us on track with God. So, the believers in the book of Acts are a great example unto us, for sure.